is mine. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Thank you, brothers. Amen. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thankful to be here this morning. We ask, God, that you be with us in this service and guide us through your scriptures this morning. In this lesson, Lord, that you placed on our hearts, we ask, Lord, that you help us, Lord, to be a help to the people. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, I want to begin reading at verse 26. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. How much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and have counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and have done despite unto the Spirit of grace? For we know him that saith, Vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. You may be seated. I want to continue our thought on grace. Looking at these, especially these last two verses we read, verses 30 and 31, for we know that him that hath said, Vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord, and again the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. First, I want to point out that about Lord Jehovah, about his name, it means self-existent one. And it literally means he that is who he is, therefore the eternal I am. It comes from Hava, is what Jehovah or Yahweh is formed from, which means to become, or to be. That is to become known, thus pointing to a continuous increasing self-revelation. Combining the meanings of Hava with the meaning of the name Jehovah, we have the self-existent one who reveals himself. So God all down through the ages is constantly revealing himself. Turn with me to the book of Philippians chapter 2. We know more about God today than we did some years ago. To give an example, when Isaiah wrote and said, Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, there was very little known about that. The understanding of that was nil. I'm sure there was people who were believers who did not understand this, what Isaiah was saying. And not always when the prophets proclaim they are a mouthpiece of God, so not always what they say, it's not passing through their mental faculties to be reconstructed through their mental thoughts. So not always do they understand everything they say. What they see in visions, they write in symbols in the Bibles what they saw, they wrote about chariots, and in the Old Testament they prophesied about chariots. They called them horseless chariots, and they were seeing something in the future, but they were calling it as close as they could by something that was of knowledge at that time. And when Isaiah said, Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, there was very little understood about that. But then as it comes on down through time, And God then reveals it to Mary. She's going to be the one. She's going to be the virgin that's going to conceive. Then after a little bit, he reveals it to Joseph. And so now Joseph knows it. Then after a bit, then Mary goes and shares it with her cousin. And now Elizabeth knows it. And so then there was just a handful of people who knew it, what that meant, what Isaiah meant when he said that. But then as Christ comes on the scene and begins to manifest himself in the flesh, then it becomes more known that this is what has taken place. And that's the way the scripture is. There's many things that's spoken in the scripture, and through time, the understanding comes, not through man's gaining greater knowledge or more understanding or greater education, but through God revealing himself more. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made into the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, it says him being in the form of God. Then he moves from there and takes on the form of man in Jesus Christ. So it's God coming down and revealing himself then in a man, Jesus Christ. And the word there, form, comes from the word morphe, which means mask. It means something that cannot be seen, yet it's there, and then it changes into something that the eye can catch. It's like when Elijah was at Dothan, and the servant came to him and said, we're surrounded by the army of, I believe, Assyria, and said, and Elijah said, there's more with us than there is with them. And so they, the prophet prayed for the servant, said, Lord, touch his eyes that he may be open to see. And when God opened his eyes, and he seen that the surrounding area was covered with angels in chariots. And it was there all the time. He just couldn't see it. That's what we're saying about God. God's been here all the time, but he's took on different forms to reveal himself. At one time, it was in the form of a pillar of fire. And he revealed himself to Moses. Of course, Moses, all he got to see was like the back parts of a man. But he was veiled himself, and he was veiled in the pillar of fire and veiled to the children of Israel, but that was the mask that he had put on and what he was revealing himself through. Then Moses says, the Lord our God shall rise up a prophet like unto me. And so then when Jesus is born, then it's God moving down and he takes on another mask. He takes on, as the scripture says here, the form of a servant, the form of man and the likeness of man. And so now he's being revealed in a man. And it's like in the days when Shakespeare would have plays that he would put on. They would have a certain amount of actors, and they would have many parts to be played. And some of these actors would play 3, 4, 5 different parts. But for each part, they'd put on a different mask to come out so they would look like somebody else. But it was the same person all the time. But they were revealing more about the drama that that was being played out. And that's the way it is with Christ. It's the same one all the time, just revealing himself in different forms. And so then, after the death of Christ, then he takes on the form of the Spirit and comes back and then dwells in man. And now, at one time in Jesus Christ, he was revealing himself in man. Now he's working through man, in that you have received the Holy Spirit. So he changed his form and he puts on a different mask. All of the prophets, it was God in the prophets that was speaking. It was they were a mouthpiece. Jesus said, "You call them gods who the word of God come to, and here I am, the Son of God. How do you condemn me?" It's the same thing today. It's God manifested in the flesh. The message of the hour, the light of the hour. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. Verse 1 says, "And I saw on the right hand of him that sat upon the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaim with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? No man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne." Now, notice it says, when John was weeping, the elder says, "Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed." And so John looks to see a lion, but instead of seeing a lion, he sees a lamb. What it is, it's just a different mask. He had on him the mask of the lion to overcome sin. Then he takes on the mask of the lamb to die for sin, to die for you. And there were names on that book. And John was weeping because if no one was found worthy to take the book, then all those names that were on there would be nothing to redeem them. And so they'd be lost. See, man, through Adam, threw us into that. And so then we needed someone that was worthy to take the book and redeem the names that were on the book. And those names that were on that book before the foundation of the world. Your name didn't get put on there the day you got saved. Your name didn't get put on the book on the day you were born. But your name was on there before the foundation of the world. And the Bible says the Lamb of God was slain before the foundation of the world. So in a figurative speech, speaking figuratively, he had already died to redeem those names. So there was already a plan in place. God didn't have to think, "Now what am I going to do now that Adam's done this?" God already had a plan in place of what to do. Friends, there's nothing that surprises God. There's nothing in your life that has ever surprised God. So therefore, many times Satan points at different mistakes and failures and faults that you have and that you've made. But none of them ever surprised God. God chose to redeem you, and he put your name in the book before the foundation of the world, before you were ever even born, before you had ever even committed one right or done one wrong. Now, there's going to be a lot of impersonations of people saying they got saved or got born again. But there's really going to be somebody that gets saved. There's really going to be some people that get born again. Because the Bible says, I'll present to myself a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. And so the bride's going to be there. The church is going to be there. That's what the Lamb died for. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 1. Verse 10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am out on the last. What thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, unto Sardis, unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voices that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girded about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were as flame of fire. His feet were like unto fine brass, as if they'd been burning the furnace. And his voice is the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was on as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and of death. Now, he took on the form of a lion to overcome sin, to defeat the devil. And he took on the form of a lamb to die for you. Now John's writing here about a different form. He's in a different form. He has a different mask on. Now his hair is white like wool. He has a golden girdle on. He has the garments. What is it? White hair. It's a judge. Now he stands there as judge. His eyes, it says, are as flames of fire. Once those eyes were dimmed with human tears. Now there's no tears in those eyes. It's saying there is flames as fire. Now it's an angry judge. At one time he stands there merciful. One time he stands there full of grace, giving grace to all that will accept it. But now John describes him as one that's standing there, and there's no grace in his eyes. But now there's vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. All that have done despite unto the Spirit of grace, as we read our text at the beginning this morning. You know, friends, you've got to have the Holy Ghost if you're going to make it. You're not going to make it otherwise. Mary, Virgin Mary, the mother of Jesus, had to get the Holy Ghost. Brother Bram said, stagger around like a drunk woman before she'd be permitted into the kingdom. So if she had to get it, then everybody else got to get it too. But now, those eyes, as I said, they were dimmed by tears. I want to read something here from Patmos' vision. He said, one day those eyes were dimmed with tears. Those eyes would stand at the judgment. Now they're fiery flames running to and fro throughout the earth, and there's nothing happens but what he knows it. Oh my, it's recorded. Running to and fro through the earth, watching every move, perceiving every thought, knowing everything you're doing, the intents of your heart, what you intend to do, he knows all about it. He knows whether you love him. He knows whether your intentions are right to serve him. He knows all about it. What will it be when you stand there that day when every sin's naked before him and he stands there at the white throne judgment? He said, God, deliver me from that place. Friends, I don't want God's justice. I don't want his law. I don't want his judgment. I want his mercy. And there's mercy to be had now. On that day, don't be counting on your good works to get you through. He's an angry God, walks out there with fire flashing from his eyes, with the righteous, the white wig over his head like that, his eyes flashing with fire, that knows every thought of your heart and everything you ever intended to do. And he says, hide me over in the Rock of Ages in that time. Amen. I want to be hid in Christ and God. It says, when the world's on fire, I want to be hid behind the Rock of Ages. I don't want his judgment. Now it says his feet were as brass. Brass always speaks of judgment. We know that the brazen altar and the brass serpent that spoke of in the Old Testament. And brass speaks of judgment. So his feet was brass. It was divine judgment. And as if they had been burned in a furnace, all the dross taken out. Then it says, voice was as a voice of many waters. The voice of many waters is spoke of again on in further into the book of Revelations. And that you'll hear that voice of many waters. It's the same one voice, but many waters, many people. Waters represented people. So it'll be a voice, and Brother Branham said, those that stood in judgment would stand there and hear the voice from the services they sat in and heard the word of God preached and heard salvation preached and heard mercy preached and heard grace preached and sat there and didn't receive it. And that voice will be played back one day. My voice will be played back over in that time to all those that ever heard my voice. But it's not my voice. It's his voice. I sat in your seats before. One time my pastor was my father. And I know how it is as a human to sit there and think, oh, that's just dad. But then to come to the realization, no, it ain't just dad. That there's a voice behind the voice. The mannerisms might be the mannerisms of that man. The actions might be the actions of that man. You see his face, but all it is just a different mask. But it's God speaking to his people. God revealing himself, revealing his word. He come down, friends, and he took on the mask of a prophet in this last day. And opened the word to the people. Opened the seals. Now he's in his bride. The mask that he has on is the mask of his bride. He's living in his bride. He's revealing himself through his bride today. But there's coming a day, and that's what we're pointing at. There's coming a day when he'll reveal himself. He'll take on the mask of judge and then reveal himself as judge. I don't want to going to be standing on the wrong side of the judgment bar on that day. I know this. There will be something that has changed before that time in the believers, in the bride. I know that sometime during the marriage supper of the Lamb, that the Bible talks about that he'll come and wipe things from our memory. And when we know that the Bible says in Jude he comes with his saints, 10,000s of his saints, and that even the angels will be judged. And as he stands there as supreme judge in divine judgment, but they'll also be judged. The bride, will be sitting behind that judgment bar also as judge. And you may see people come up before you that in this life you would have known them. Maybe in this life you'd have been related to them. But when they stand on the other side of that judgment bar, you won't be looking down at them like you are related to them. You won't be looking down on them like, oh, there's my son, there stands my daughter, there stands my mom, my dad, or whoever. Uncle, aunt, cousins, whoever. You won't review them in that way no more. There ain't going to be nobody tugging on God's sleeve saying, hold on, that's Uncle so-and-so. Nope. That time's over. Only time to reach out, pray for your relatives is now. And once they've passed beyond this scene, there ain't a prayer in the world that's going to change anything. Remember, I don't know if you remember one time, Brother Roel Soriano from the Philippines came here and preached. It's been quite some years ago, probably about 14, 15, maybe some years ago, the last time maybe he was here. And he preached and he said that he was raised Catholic. And he said that he had a grandfather that passed away. And so the priest told him if they paid a certain amount that he would pray for their grandfather, that his grandfather was in purgatory, and he'd pray for him and pray him out of purgatory. And Brother O.L. said every year the priest was praying his grandfather out of purgatory. And Brother Royal said, I got to wondering, if we keep praying him out of there, why does he keep going back? There's no such thing as that, see. Waters. Waters means thickness of multitudes of people. Now his voice or beam was standing there looking like what we described. In this form, now as judge, and the bride and Christ being one. And because they're being molded into one person, two beings being molded in to become one, just like husband and wife. There was a story that Brother Branham tells about a young man. They were in a town, and there was a baby that was in a wagon, a buckboard, and somehow the horses got spooked and took off with the baby still in there. And a young man jumped on a horse and rode off after this wagon and caught up with it and and got the baby just before the wagon went over the bank and brought the baby and saved the baby's life. Then some 25 years later, there was a young man that was being tried on a criminal case in the court. And the jury had found him guilty. And the judge was beginning to pronounce the verdict, pronounce judgment upon this young man. And he pronounced a judgment for him to be hanged until by the neck, until his mortal life was gone. And when he did, while the young man began to cry, "Judge, Your Honor, you can't do that. You can't do that." He said, "I'm sorry, son. Verdict's already been passed. Judgment's already been passed down." And he said, "But Judge, don't you remember me? I'm that baby you saved." He says, "Son, I was your savior that day, but today I'm your judge." Brother Adam tells that story, trying to get the point across. Jesus is your savior today. But one day you'll be standing there as judge. Hallelujah. You know what? There's not a thing, not a thing in anyone's life that's hid from him. He knows everything. You can hide it from mom, dad. You can hide it from brother and sister. You can hide it from your pastor. You can hide it from your wife. You can hide it from your husband. But ain't nothing hid from him. He knows. And one day, Brother Bram said, you'll stand there, your sins naked before him, if you don't let your sins be covered by the blood now. Revelations 1, where we read verse 13, it said, "And in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks stood one like unto the Son of Man." Those seven golden candlesticks represent the seven church ages. So it was the Son of Man standing in the midst of his church in Morphe, the same one. Just a different form standing there in the midst of his church. Hebrews 13 and 5 says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as ye have. For he had said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that when that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." We judge ourselves now, so that we're not judged then. As I read the scripture when we started, "Vengeance belongeth unto me, I'll recompense, saith the Lord." It is a dangerous thing to fall into the hands of a living God. One of the elders said, "Weep not, John. The Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed." And he looked and saw a lamb. He was a lamb to us. In mercy, he took our place, took our judgment, became our sacrifice on the cross. He was a lion for us. He prevailed over sin, prevailed over death, prevailed over the grave, prevailed over hell. He's a lamb to us, a lion for us. It's just a different mask. Friends, while he stands, let's all stand. I should bow your heads, close your eyes. Musicians can come. today stands as your Savior, merciful, full of grace, full of mercy. You can only receive that in this life. You can only take advantage of that in this life. Once this life is over, then whatever you've done is done. The Bible said, let he that's filthy be filthy still, and let he that's righteous be righteous still. You have opportunity today. You each one know your lives. You know where you are with God. You know where you stand. He knows where you stand. I just want to give opportunity. Anyone knows that they need to get their life right. Surrender their life to God. Now's the day to do it. Is there anyone that would raise their hand and say, brother, remember me? Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. Lord, a very solemn message, Lord, that you have brought to us this morning. Lord, you saw, Lord, who raised their hands. You know their hearts. You know where they stand with you. Lord, something must have spoke to them today to get them to reach out. Lord, I pray, God, may you work in their life. Lord, I pray for anyone, Lord, that's here that doesn't know you as their Savior. Lord, that their life is not right. Lord, may you continue to deal with them. Lord, we want to see all ready to go. Lord, the one thing about sitting around the marriage supper of the Lamb that I don't look forward to is looking around and perhaps seeing somebody missing. Somebody that I knew, and they're absent, they're not there. The prophet said we'd look around and we would notice. We'd notice people that made it, that maybe other folks didn't think they would make it, but they made it. But we'd notice some missing on that day. God, I don't want to see that. I pray, dear God, continue, Lord, deal with your people here. Lord, to get them ready to go. I ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.